Achieving the highest level of performance is a critical path to success for leaders, teams, and businesses. It's more than a mindset, it's a skill set. Arizona Coaching and Consulting helps individuals, leaders, teams, and companies develop the skill set necessary to achieve enhanced levels of performance. Learn more about Arizona Coaching and Consulting capabilities, training programs, and coaching products at www.azc3.com or call 480-518-7757. Arizona Coaching and Consulting, the Performance Business Advisors.
Well, indeed, it's a great opportunity, as always, once a month to catch up with the leader and founder of AZC3, Arizona Coaching and Consulting, Lynn Moran in Phoenix, Arizona. How are you this morning, Lynn?
Good. How are you? It's good to hear from you and talk to you.
Absolutely, as always. Well, we've had quite a series of discussions, and I chuckled when you floated the subject we're going to touch in today. By the way, just real quickly, Lynn's background, for those who are not familiar with her, she had a wonderful career growing up inside the Mars Candy Company, ultimately becoming president of Ethel M. Chocolates, and then dovetailed with other roles in the consumer product related areas, and now out on her own as a business advisor and a coach. The topic, customer service, and I loved your tagline, the lost competitive advantage. Love it.
Yes. I believe it very strongly. And, you know, we experience it every day, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
So I thought to kind of set up the discussion we're going to have is to talk a little bit about what I think is driving it a little bit. And I use two expressions. I call them lemming marketing and lemming business. And we all know about lemmings. For some reason, they all get together in a group and can run off a cliff together.
Exactly, yeah.
And I think if we're not careful, as business people or professionals, we can get into this lemming marketing or business mindset. And that is, somebody, company leadership or, you know, a professional sees a book that's written, and it's like everybody runs in that direction, whether it applies to their business model or not. And instead of looking for that shared knowledge or perspective that comes out through a book or through other venues and say, you know, is there a reasonable and profitable application for the company I'm running? We kind of get feedback that says, read this book, start doing this, buy a model, and then after 2 or 3 years, it goes away until the next big idea or concept comes along.
Boy, 2 or 3 years, boy, I've seen them come in even faster cycles than that. You know,
I thought about it.
You know, employees know to say, oh, this is just the soup du jour. You know, this too shall pass.
Exactly, and that's why you don't get the change you want,
yeah,
right? Which is what we've been talking about. Change, performance, they all go together. So, yeah, so the next big idea comes along, and I was trying to be generous. I knew you were probably going to ask me about that.
That's exactly. I was going to jump on
yep.
that one.
Yeah, and companies are off and running, and once again, maybe even over the cliff with everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look back, I'm going to say 15, 20 years ago. Some concept came out that said flat organizations are better. We're going to get rid of levels. They're going to be easier to manage. We'll have bigger jobs. But there was no performance attached to that to say, and when we do this, what kind of a, you know, change do we expect to see in leadership development or financial results, whatever? And so they lost the opportunity for developmental positions, you know, to really have places to take a bright new talent and kind of provide a very sound business foundation. Well, when I started thinking about that, I got on one of my most passionate areas, and that's customer service, because I think like organizations and other aspects of business, it's been impacted by these lemming business type decisions.
Hmm.
Right? Now, I don't know about you, but what was the last time that you picked up the phone and actually called somewhere and had a person answer it?
Do you know, in particular for all of us that travel, is you constantly put in the five layers of voicemail, click, 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 find a human, except if you call Southwest, they pick up the phone. And, you know, that right
there
away is really when you have to go through voice-to-voice as opposed to booking online. I was so shocked when someone picked up the phone. I almost said, are you really from Southwest?
Yeah. Has this been farmed out somewhere?
Exactly.
And I'm not really talking to a Southwest
person. Yeah,
that's one of they've got it.
Yeah,
or let's just say they haven't forgotten it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that you know, when you call, and I know it's an exaggeration, but I call it the 100 options. Okay, here we go. You've called us. Our options have changed. So now it's like, oh, well, if I knew it before, I don't now.
That's right.
And, you know, so I have to listen to 15 options. And then let's say the one I really needed was number one or two.
But
sometimes you have to go back and say, I don't remember which one it was.
Exactly. That's right.
All right. So I believe that the whole thing that's driving this, which is really creating a performance deficit in a lot of our businesses, is it's an internal focus.
Mm.
They forgot that you, or less, I'll even be more generous and say they haven't forgotten, but they've eroded the concept that we do well as long as our customers and clients are happy with us and are doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Because I racked my brain to say, what business, forget government, you know, but really a business, what business exists who does not have clients or customers? And to remain competitive in the marketplace, how do they ensure that they have an outward focus? And I'm really perplexed and honestly aggravated by this internal focus. Well, you know what? We can save money if we, you know, don't have people pick up the phone.
Right.
And we can have them choose these options and we'll better direct the calls. Well, but to whose benefit? It's not to the consumer or customer's benefit, is it?
Well, I would venture, though, for many companies, if they're doing it right, they're at the same time collecting data, right? And you and I, of course, being the data mavens that we are, that if
right.
we really truly believe the selection process, it could tell us that, gee, at any given month, most of the calls are being directed towards the technical guys or towards this billing office. But I don't know that that really is happening as much as we'd like, that the additional information you're getting so you can serve the customer and hopefully never even have to get those calls to start with.
Correct. That's the value that an individual like you adds to the process. I believe, going back to corporate days, that it's more financially driven rather than information driven. So I believe a lot of companies are data rich, but information poor.
Precisely. And with that, then their decision lacks. Or,
correct.
As you would say, actually, no decision is a decision, and it's probably one you didn't realize you made. And
correct.
It's the wrong one when it comes to the treatment of your customers.
Yeah, and I think it's really, it's become significant. And remember, you and I are in the area of consulting and advising companies. And when I talk to companies, for instance, you know, somebody will say to me, well, we believe we're tops in customer service. And I always ask the same question, how do you know that?
How do you know that?
And would your customers rank you that way?
Right.
Have you gotten, when was the last time you got that feedback? And it's very interesting what you hear. So I still wouldn't like it, but I may feel a little bit more comfortable if I felt companies were getting or using, I believe they're getting it, to your point, that valuable data.
Well, I think it goes back.
Are they using it?
Are they using it? But I think it all goes back to your comment or where you're heading is that, you know, really, whatever happened to human contact? I have an amazing story about this space that's kind of counterintuitive or certainly is not what you conventionally hear. A friend of mine's spouse taken to the emergency ward, ICU, emergency surgery this week in the heart unit, and heart bypass, in fact. Her daughter's in Spain. They're wanting to keep the daughter in Spain, one in California, advised, realized that the cell phone they had did not have international calling capability. But she nonetheless called the 800 number from the service provider and started down that path of explaining, you know, my husband just came out of surgery. Everything's going to be fine, but I don't have international calling capability. And fortunately, the person on the other end of the line at this very large corporation, by the way, said, well, wait a minute, tell me what's going on. Her immediate response was, after Sandy framed it up, was, oh my gosh, every little girl wants to know how her daddy's doing. You hang on, don't go anywhere. I'm going to see if I can't get an international calling capability for you right now. And I'm telling you, what happened then was in some regard, people would say, a complete miracle. But to your point, a recognition by this person on the line that this was what their business is about. It's connecting people and that customer service quintessential.
Absolutely. And that is an outstanding example of the model that we want to see.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, if you're a service business, think about the very nature of the industry you're in, service business. And yet, you make decisions, or companies can make decisions at times that are good for them, but not necessarily good for their customers or clients. And I find that an oxymoron, because if you're a service company, then everything you do would have the service kind of mentality assigned to it. I think you just gave a great example of somebody who realizes, like, hey, we're in the business of connecting people.
Right.
I have a customer here. I'm going to provide that service. Many times you can't, the client or customer can't have the opportunity to get that connection.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know about you, but I know even myself, there's a lot of options. And after a while, if it's too much work for me to try to give my money to somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's really what you're doing.
That's right.
I'm working very hard to hire you or buy something from you. I'm going to disengage from that and say, you know what, I have other options.
Right. It's just too hard to work with you.
It's too hard to give you my money. That's the irony. And so I believe that what's really impacted, once again, this customer service aspect, I mean, the competitive advantage that it provides is you got to get from the internal focus to the external focus. And not just do customer surveys, but every time a customer survey is done, you know, where they have a place to add comments, because I do try to be a good business partner and say, yes, I'll give you some feedback. Mm-hmm. I will fill this out. I always ask, and what will you do with this? What are you going to do with this data? Because if it's just to go in and not make a change, then, you know, I sometimes from certain surveys, every time I walk in or regularly, and it's like, is it a survey black hole?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So I don't believe surveys are the answer. I believe it is the mindset that you create in the business. It's all around performance again. Customer service can differentiate you. If you want an area of differentiation in the market, company can choose this and say, you know what? I'm going to invest in this area because I believe it'll make a difference.
So, Lynn, your experience then from your own companies that you've managed, and now that you're consulting within, are you finding, for example, in this case, that departments have then taken to heart really grappling with and responding to written-in comments on customer surveys? I mean, that's an obvious suggestion for our listeners who are particularly business owners saying, okay, now how can I take this to heart? What are some tips and tricks and ideas you would offer us today?
When you ask for the information, I believe in order to get quality information, the first thing you should include in the survey process is, this is what we want it for. These are the kind of changes we want to make. We want to take our customer service from a response time of, you know, you can do a range between 1 to 3 minutes to less than a minute. And your information is critical for us,
mm-hmm,
to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm inclined to help somebody move forward because it's going to benefit all of us. And I also believe that if you're reaching out and asking people, you first have to do your review internally, which is, how do I communicate customer service? How do I project that every single day in everything I do as a business, as an individual, as a leader? And when given the opportunity to respond, do I push the envelope some to encourage the organization to move forward in this competitive area?
You know, one place you might want to start first off is just a reflection of those people that, you know, those people that are in those roles, those kind of jobs, those kind of departments in the company. Where are they with regard to having a voice in the strategic direction of the company? I mean, quite frankly, those jobs being on the front line, you know, those people have really tough days. Seldom do they get a phone call from a happy customer that says, I'm just calling to tell you I think you guys are a great company. Instead, it's hour after hour after hour of, you know, juggling complaints, difficult situations, billing isn't connecting to credit, etc. etc. And the interesting dynamic I've watched, because in fact, interestingly enough, I'm coaching the leader of a very large customer care organization. They even renamed themselves, which I thought was pretty profound, actually, a good place to start. But, you know, they need additional help from internal resources to answer some of these questions, of course. And to say they call engineering to get some input, and their feeling is, as an intro colleague, that actually engineers are kind of running from who's going to answer the phone. So maybe that's one place you'd say, in terms of this internal-external focus, though, Lynn, is to really look at, are your internal company processes and management alignment around realizing this is one of our top priorities, and that even as an engineer who's in design, your first priority should be when the customer service, customer care person calls to get on the phone with them and help.
Of course. And you know where I'm always going to go in this area. If you don't measure it, you don't get it.
Right, right.
Okay, companies will not get what they don't reward or measure. And when I look back, I don't ever recall, even at the highest levels of an organization, where they had customer service metrics as part of their review. So if you want to move the engineers, give the engineering leaders a part of customer service. If you want to move the finance people, you know what I believe? Put them as close to the customer as you can, mm-hmm. but put up a customer service metric on that organization also, and hold everybody accountable for customer service. And then decide what that metric could be. You can't satisfy every customer, but there are two groups of customers. One are external. That's the big group. Everybody owns that. But internally, the service organizations or support organizations, the salespeople are their customers,
mm-hmm.
and the manufacturing people are their customers, the ones who are making it, selling it, or providing the service. And so they need to have service metrics there also as part of their reviews. If you don't measure it or reward it, you're generally not going to get it. It's the flavor of the month. Every day is a day of the customer. Every year is a year of the customer. And it can't... What I'm really proposing here is, are at the bottom line or the end of the day, is customer service is not a financially driven decision. It is a competitive position in the marketplace and an investment area, not an area where you cut back resources.
Yeah, okay. Okay, great.
All right. That's, I believe, the bottom line proposition. You need to have people have contact. You need to have people get questions answered quickly. They will continue to do business with you if you make doing business easy. They will not if, once again, it becomes too hard for them to give you their money.
Why is it, do you think, though, Lynn, many of us have just succumbed to accepting mediocrity? I mean, I think that's part of it, too, is we're so used to now the five layers of voicemail to get to a human being. Or, you know, even there's a site out there now called findahuman.com. And it teaches
right.
you right away how many sixes, twos, and ones you can zip through on your phone to get to the human being. I mean, why is it you think we've tolerated this?
Well, that's interesting. I don't know if consumers have really tolerated it, or if an alternative has not presented itself that allows them to make a switch.
Exactly.
I believe
okay.
that consumers are unhappy about it. They are busy. They're working in jobs, you know, or managing families, whatever it is. Time is a premium. And I believe, especially in larger companies, there's probably erosion that started to happen. They haven't seen it yet. It's kind of like that wave that builds underneath, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, when you catch view of it, it's way too big.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe the mindset has to change so that you don't wind up finding this huge issue presenting itself to the business because leaders took their eyes off the very foundation upon which business operates, which is customer service.
You know, I recall one of the stories you told in our earlier segment, and because with customer service, of course, some of the data you can mine that is actually phenomenal ideas on how you can improve your product, how you can grow entirely new business
yep.
sectors, etc. And if you aren't tapping on that wisdom from consumers, you might fall prey to thinking you know everything from inside your own four walls. You told the story once of you know, every year all of you within the candy business needed to go out and work some of the stores. And for
correct.
Some of the best intentions of some new packaging idea, when you were then out there as president of the division, now wrapping the candy in this new way, you stopped and said, "No, wait, whose idea was this?"
That's right. And why did I sign up on this?
Yeah, why did I sign up on this? And that's, we kind of have a tendency to drink, you know, breathe the same funny air or drink the same water within some of the ivory tower areas and not be mindful of the impact on our stores, let alone how the consumer would respond.
Correct. And think about this also. Surveys are like 360 feedback, where you go out and you get feedback from all the different levels of the organization about yourself. When you get feedback of any nature, human beings tend to filter. Well, you know, I know the customer doesn't like this area, but, you know, that's because as a business we decided to do this. Right? That's why I'm more passionate about driving it as a performance area and an investment area, and the bottom line cost of doing business. I truly don't believe that a great product will overcome poor service. Just look at the airlines if you don't think that's true.
Well, as all
look
I
look at hotel chains.
You betcha.
Okay?
Yeah, I think you'd also say is now, as more and more things in this information knowledge management area become more and more transparent and transferable across different businesses and so on, what's really going to differentiate an organization? And it is going to be service. It
yes,
is going to be
I
service.
Believe that.
And in
I
many regards,
that.
It's the customer not needing service, because then it wraps back into your whole quality discussions, right?
Right.
Of not needing to
right.
deal with the things that are broken.
Correct. And I find it perplexing, but I also think it's a great opportunity for leaders and companies to reposition themselves to say, we may not have as much money as the competitors. We may not have as many products as the competitors. But you know what? We can be superior in service and differentiate ourselves that way. Because I never believe you should play the money game. You have to play a competitive edge game, which is, what can I stand out for in my industry and do it better than anybody else? And I believe customer service is that opportunity.
And that customer service, of course, carries with it multiple facets, as you said. It's how, you know, how in which you present yourself to the customer. How do you do your billing? What do you do in follow-up? Just about simple thank you notes. Protocol training for your operators, because a lot of the business is done over the phone. But responsiveness, but with not with, you know, acerbic attitude, right? With some real empathy.
Correct. And if I wanted to be better at customer service, then I need to get my organization more oriented and familiar with who we actually sell to and what it is they want from us. I think at the highest levels of an organization, that may be known, but the work is done at the other levels of the organization where I believe there's a potential disconnect. And that information from the people who touch the customer is the most critical element of the strategic planning around the growth of the company.
But again,
and that's the information that usually does not get there.
That doesn't get there. Or like you say, again, the firm that I've been helping out with their customer care organization, I came to find out that I said, wow, you guys are really getting terrific feedback. A lot of it's tough love from your customers. So how is it you distill this information and get it onto other departments to take action? And they kind of looked at me like, well, Zara, we barely have enough time just to appease the difficult customers. And I thought, aha, there's the opportunity to mine for possibilities. Well, Lynn, thank you very much. Again, as always, customer service, the lost competitive advantage, a great conversation we've had today. Folks interested to contact Lynn, it's 480-518-7757 or azc3.com for Arizona Coaching and Consulting Center. We'll catch up with you next month and have a great balance of the weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon,
will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.